Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Running the point
with Jason Carey. About time to get this thing started.
Running the point with Jason Carey. You know how we do this thing. We got to say the grace. How we say the grace is we got to thank everybody for listening, taking the time to listen to us, listen to me. You can listen to anybody else. You can be on any network, but you're listening to me. So I appreciate that because we out here competing for ears. Today, I get to talk to, I got a guest today. A lot of times I know y'all used to me, my rants and going on. I got a lot to talk about. So I will get to that. But today, I'm talking to a very important person. She's very important to me. And she was quite instrumental into the Jason that y'all know today, actually, whether she knows it or not. But I want to introduce my friend, but also I think she is she's a powerful mind and business owner, entrepreneur. So she checks all the boxes. You know, she's an African-American female entrepreneur with a powerful mind and extremely educated. There's a whole lot of boxes going checked there. So I want to welcome to the show Miss Benita Johnson, y'all. What's up, Benita?
Hey,
what's up, Benita?
You know, I was wondering for a second, who is he talking about? He needs to have another guest on this show. That's a whole lot of boxes you checked.
I knew you was going to say that. But like, who in the devil? Who is he talking to, talking about? But yeah, man, I definitely want to do that and do it publicly to say that you are important to me, but also were very important and instrumental in this journey. I would, in the beginning of this, Benita was a listening ear, advice, a pocket, anything I needed. She always had my back and will always have my back, and I have hers. So I make sure she knows that. Love
and
dealing.
Thank you. I wouldn't do it any other way.
Indeed. What a journey it has been. But so now we're here, 2019. Q-Tip said don't say the years because it dates you, but I'm going to say it anyway. 2019, you recently were featured. You are featured in Black Enterprise, but before I even get to that, you are the owner, the founding owner of The Vine LLC. Tell us what The Vine is, though. Tell us what that is.
So The Vine Wine Club is an online, it started out as an online retail shop. Mm. And so you know a lot about entrepreneurship. And so, you know, we kind of evolved based on the times and based on, you know, economics. So yeah. I started out in 2014 selling wine online. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I just caught this bug that I'd rather educate people on wine because a lot of times people don't know what they're drinking or what they want to drink or why they like something. So The Vine has transitioned into a space for education.
Okay.
And also another vehicle to promote African Americans in wine and spirits. So we kind of we've grown a lot over the last 5 years into something different. So we probably do less retail now, more education and events.
Well, that's dope that you see the curve, and that's just entrepreneurship in a nutshell, right there too. Seeing the curve, seeing the need. Mm-hmm. And serving that need. There are a lot of companies out there that did not see the need or see the curve. Toys R Us did not see the curve coming, and they got beat by Amazon. Actually, Walmart should have beat Amazon, and they didn't. So there's a couple companies that, in their own arrogance, don't see the curve.
Absolutely. It's important, you know, as an entrepreneur to stay current, and mm-hmm. especially small businesses where we don't have, you know, infinite dollars. Mm-hmm. And so we have to do, you know, the best we can. I mean, there's a realness to feast and famine.
Yes.
So, you know, once you start, that feast is starting to look a little skinny. You know, you have to look at what you're doing and be quick and be willing to make some changes.
Indeed. Don't get stuck on anything. Don't be partial mm-hmm. to anything. Go ahead and be able to adapt. But it's perfect that we're even talking to you because in this wave, there was a wave probably a couple of months ago, maybe. I know it was this year when the whole Gucci thing happened, and then everybody was like, you shouldn't even be buying for those brands, and black business, black, black, black. And I was sitting back looking at some of them people like, you so new to this. You so new to this feeling. And I'm like, I've always, for one, I was raised in it, but also I've always been on that wave is support us. I got an episode and I'm a huge fan of us. I talk about that all the time. Being on that wave of black business is important. How important is entrepreneurship as an African-American woman, just being in entrepreneurship? How important is that?
You know, I have been in my life, I've been fortunate. I've only been in one situation where I got, you know, laid off or a pink slip. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't a good feeling. And, you know, it creates this fear, that uncertainty, you know, when you go into another job. So one thing about working for myself, I guarantee not to get a pink slip.
For sure.
I ain't gonna fire my best employee. That's me.
Employee of the month, week, year. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's still some fear and uncertainty, but at least I'm not dependent. Like, where's my job that, you know, they sold and we had to go? You know, I was dependent on that paycheck. Every 2 weeks, I knew how much it was going to be down to the penny. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew what I was going to do. But, you know, being an entrepreneur, it's made me smarter in a lot of ways because, you know, still nothing's guaranteed. You know, I have contracts and, you know, they can come and go, but I have multiple contracts. And I want to apologize for background noise. I'm sitting in a wine bar. So, sorry.
That, how fitting. That's perfect. The wine lady is sitting in the wine bar. That's awesome. I wish I was there.
And I'm supporting, it'd be owned by a woman. So I'm supporting a woman on wine bar.
Okay. Awesome. In Virginia? Yeah.
I'm in Raleigh.
You're in Raleigh. So
I'm in Raleigh.
It was important for me to say that you're from Virginia, and Virginia is important. So we always got to wave that flag as well, even though our history is mired in some other things. But. But anyway, in Raleigh, a woman-owned, she owns the wine bar. That is awesome. Continue to work on Sunday.
Yeah.
But
so,
go for it.
Well, yeah, you know, with the entrepreneurship, you know, it's super important. And it's important, as you mentioned, you know, supporting, you know, our businesses. I'm an advocate of supporting Black-owned businesses, women businesses, but small businesses in general as well. Mm-hmm. You know, these small businesses are dying because, you know, you got the Amazons and you mentioned Walmart. You know, they take over. They can provide everything. But, you know, we want to eat too and, you know, so support us.
Continue to agree. Now, so you also raise your children you have raised them to think like entrepreneurs. A lot of people.
Yeah, clearly, because they don't work. So clearly they're entrepreneurs.
I remember you saying that oftentimes, and you, one of your sons, I remember back in the day, wanted to own a hotel and some other things. So that's always been the mentality.
That's always. Yeah, because I don't know if you remember, they wanted to own the Target so they could get all the video games. You remember that?
Yes.
When they were little?
Yes.
You know, so they always want to own these things. And so they are. So my youngest, he just finished high school. Mm-hmm. And he's a musician. And so he's kind of, you know, 18. He's kind of figured it out. But, you know, he's taking some business courses because really he just wants to do his music and understand the business behind it. And then, you know, middle child, he's into cosmetology, hair and makeup. So his aspiration is to, you know, kind of freelance, but he wants to do hair, makeup, and funeral homes. So I think that's
a niche. Yeah, that's very unique. Yeah.
Yeah, nobody's fighting for that job. So
not at all.
And then the oldest, I think, you know, she's known you for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she's into entertainment. And, you know, so she's writing and just recorded her first EP, and she started a business about a year ago where she's doing social media management and writing press releases and doing stuff for folks. So, yeah, they're very entrepreneurial. And, you know, what I share with them, which I didn't learn, was, you know, we can do this. And a lot of times what holds us back is we get caught up in some other financial obligations. Mm. And so, you know, the house I have is big enough for all of us. So I basically said, you know, as long as you don't get on my nerves, you can stay here for free while you, you know, build your business. Because I'm going to pay for it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so while you're building your business, stay here. You know, don't run out and get, you know, a $1,500 a month apartment, a $400 a month car note, because that forces you to have to work.
Correct.
And do things for other people. And so, and so far, they're following instructions.
So far, why was it important to you for you to instill that in them, for those that are raising children now? Or, you know, because we were raised traditionally. We were raised go to school, get a job, work your way up, work in the mailroom, all the stuff that don't even, the world ain't even built like that no more. It wasn't even built like that when I got out of college. And
right.
But we were all taught that. Why was it important for you to teach something different?
I wasn't taught that. So my father had his own business. He was a brick mason. And then his sister, who I was very close to, mm-hmm. she had her own salon. And so they didn't necessarily, they wanted me to go to college. And that was almost like a requirement. I really didn't know that I had a choice after high school. Mm. So go to college. But it wasn't important that, you know, I used to hear people say, oh, you got to get a state job because they got the best benefit.
Sound like some Virginia stuff. I hope I didn't lose it.
What you want to do.
Okay.
You know, that's what he always told me. So, you know, and it's one thing when you grow up in a house with entrepreneurs and you see these people, like, you know, take my dad, brick mason. Mm-hmm. When it was cold outside, he didn't go to work. When it was raining and snowing, he didn't go to work. Now, as a young person, all you know is he ain't got to go to work today.
Yeah.
But I got to still go out here. And so you kind of see, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, so I don't have to go to work when I don't want to go. You know, I didn't know that really you work harder being an entrepreneur, but it's different when it's something that you love because it doesn't feel like you go to work. You know, nobody works harder than you, but you love what you do.
Yeah, love it. Yeah. And they were like, man, you don't never sit down. And I'm like, nope.
having
a ball is a blessing to be able to get up and do what I want and do something that I love doing every day.
Mm-hmm.
This, and I think it's important. I asked the question why it was important for you to teach them that, because there is still, you will look at some of these curriculums. The curriculum hasn't changed a lot. they took cursive out and they're taking algebra out of school, but the idea hasn't changed. Hey, get a job, work your way up. And the world has changed so tremendously. Are those the type of questions? What kind of questions are you getting as an entrepreneur? Because I know people call you and ask for those things. Are you getting these kind of questions even about raising kids or even about entrepreneurship? What kind of questions are you getting?
Yeah, I do get that because, you know, I homeschool my boys.
Mm-hmm.
So being a business owner with two young kids in tow, yeah. You know, folks will ask, how do you do both? And so, you know, we do a whole lot of things all the time. You know, we just don't realize what we're doing. So it just comes back to focus. So it's like, okay, I got to do this business because I got to make this money. But I also have to educate these boys. But it just caused me for a very untraditional education. My boys were watching me work. They were watching me do business. They were a part of the business. So a lot of them growing up, yes, they had to learn algebra and calculus and world history, but we also were living in this business, so they were learning a lot about that as well, and, you know, interacting with a lot of adults, you know, because the first thing, you know, homeschool wasn't as popular as it is now when they were coming up.
Yeah,
so
true.
The first thing, you know, people always want to challenge them, you know, by what they know, but they knew a whole lot of stuff. You know, I was able to teach history in a different way. You know, my kids learn Black history, something that we're not taught in schools. So they learned about themselves and they learned about the things that the way we've contributed to mankind. You know, things that they wouldn't have learned in public school. So, you know, folks have asked that, you know, how do we do, how was I able to do both? But I just believe anything we want to do, we can do it.
Yeah, nugget. Dang. I had the bell too and I left it. I had the bell. We on this show, we say we're going to have a bell since the beginning, since the first season. We say we're going to, every time somebody drop a nugget, we're going to hit that bell. And I actually had the bell and I left it. But the bell is in tow now. We talked earlier. I want to kind of switch gears a little bit. we talked a little bit earlier about supporting the businesses. And this is something that, and maybe you can help me say it better or say it differently. A lot of times I'm carrying the flag and telling people that the reason why I support this business or reason why I'm supporting some of these business owners or companies is so they can continue to do what they're doing. So they continue to grow and so they'll be around. I was in Indianapolis and I met, was it Hats by Steven? And I bought a hat from a gentleman. He said he hand makes his hats. And is a older gentleman. As we're making these black owned business, he make these hats. And the hat was like $100 and something. And I could go somewhere and get a hat cheaper. But I bought the hat for the reason because this brother was selling his hat here at the Urban League Conference. That's why I bought the hat and put it on my social media because I have a follower. And other people be like, man, I could have bought 10 hats for that. And I'm like, well, but your impact wouldn't have been the same. And 10 hats wouldn't have meant nothing. And this hat meant something. So, and that's the way I say it and the way I try to tell people, and hopefully it strikes a chord to somebody else and then they go do it. But maybe you can say it differently. Maybe you can help me say it a better way. Why is it important? Why is it important for us to go out there and support entrepreneurs or small businesses? Why should we do that? And especially black-owned businesses.
Because every other nationality, they, their businesses to support it. Most of the time, they live in their community, so their money stays in their community. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we want the same thing? Mm. You know, we can buy from each other and allow our money to stay in our community. But, you know, I just want to say something about the hat situation that you just described. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you may could have bought multiples, but if that were, you had mentioned Gucci earlier, if that were a Gucci hat, it would have cost more and nobody would have complained. Why is that? You know, why are we so proud to wear other people's labels on our heads, on our chests, on our behinds? Mm-hmm. But for our stuff, we won't pay a tenth of what Gucci costs. And we complain. You know, we find too many excuses why not to support our businesses. Yep. I hear people say all the time, well, I'm only going to support it if customer service is good. Okay, me in Walmart every week. How many times you had a good experience in Walmart?
For real.
Hardly ever,
Ever. Registers be closed. There's 200 registers in there. It'd be three open. Like, why?
Exactly. We've never had a good experience, but we're back every week. Mm-hmm. We don't give each other the same opportunities, which is so frustrating to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I've had Asians be rude in the store. We still don't go and get the food or, you know, the hair if we're going to the hair store. Mm-hmm. We go all the time, and they don't want us. We got to walk through a metal detector to get in there, and we're the primary customers.
Correct. There are some, and not all, I don't want to blanket anybody, but people blatantly tell you that they don't fool with you, don't rock with you, simply because you're black.
Yes.
And we'll still jump right into it. And that's, yes. I just think that's a bad decision on our part, and it won't change until we do something about it.
Right.
And purchase with a purpose. That's what I like to say. Purchasing with a purpose. So I was talking about that wave. There was a list that came out of 25 luxury brands when the Gucci thing came out, 25 luxury brands, black-owned brands that you should be supporting instead of, say, a Gucci. Mm-hmm. And I had my eye on these Louboutins before that. It was like $900 mm-hmm. Shoes. And I was like, I'm going to buy me them joints. But because this list came out, I found a black-owned shoemaker that's a luxury shoe brand. I'm like, if I'm going to spend $500, $600, $700 on a pair of shoes for whatever reason, if I choose to do that, I want to do it.
Spend it with your brother or your sister.
Yeah.
And you know, it's very few products that we're buying today that we can't get.
Correct. All you got to do is Google. Google search. We got
Google is your friend.
Oh my God. I talk about people. We got a supercomputer. Never in the history of man have we had this access to information and people in mm-hmm. our life, and we are still sending text messages and emojis. That's what we're doing with these phones. Makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to mm-hmm. me. There's a black-owned, I love watches. There's a black-owned watch company out of Portsmouth called Tally and Twine, I think. I'll put it up. But they're out of Portsmouth, and I just found them recently. And I'm going to get one of their watches. Watches is It's like they said they wanted, the reason they created the company is said they wanted to make quality watches and you don't have to spend like $1,000 on it, like $200 watches. But nice ones. And they're not only black owned, there's a couple, and they're out of Virginia. Please believe I'll be buying those. Please believe I'll be buying
those. And that's the stuff, we can't spread it enough. Like you say, Google is out there. You know, we have all these social media outlets. And, just spread it. There's a list going around in the Black Wine Lovers group that identifies African-American winemakers that, we can buy wine from.
Mm-hmm.
And they ship it. And so, we kind of made a conscious effort that one sister put it out that we highlight one winery every month. And mm-hmm. we're just asking, buy two bottles from that individual this month. So it's kind of like a crowdfunding type purchase. But,
that's
it's what we have to do.
Yeah. Because we'll be quick to take a picture in the Louis store. We'll go in the mall and be like, just popping tags today. out here doing it up in the mall. But we won't quickly do the same thing for one of ours. So it's a sister out here I met, and she makes wine. I'm gonna make sure you have her contact too. She ships some bottles and ships it as well. Young lady out of here.
Okay.
So I'll make sure.
Okay.
I send you her information. But and that's what I do agree that there needs to be some kind of network where we share that information. And it's not just because we are business. There's a business mind, and we're small business owners. So being as a small business owner or brand owners, we'll continue to spread the word. But the average Joe doesn't know the importance of something simple as a social media post or a share. I think that message has to get out there a little bit more as well, just with our peers. Continue to just share it, man. Just share it. Tell somebody
and
else
you're
about
so
it.
Nice when you say people don't know. People know the power of sharing. A lot of times we just don't want to, and I don't know why we don't want to, but, we feel like, helping somebody is going to hurt us, but it really doesn't. It feels kind of good, actually.
Yeah, it feels good. I told the guy when I bought the hat, I said, man, you need to contact Fellowship in Atlanta, which is Cam Newton's place, because everybody in there wear hats. It's a whole hat thing. I was like, CJ, his brother, runs the joint, and I'm going to talk to CJ about you, and I'm going to make a connection. Cam messing around, buy some hats from you, man. And he's like, man, that's amazing. You didn't have to say that to me. But I was like, yeah, I did. For me, I had to say that to you. Because
that's what we need to do.
Yeah. Continue to do it.
Let me know, because I know I got boys to wear hats.
Oh, yeah. I will send you Steven's information, because he shipped them too. I wanted to leave there. I bought one. I wanted to leave there with about five of them, but he'll make it to, he said he'll also make it to custom. I tell him what colors I want. He'll put it together. So I was like, oh, yeah. I might be buying all your hats, sir. We're going to have to talk about brand ambassadorship now.
That's right.
Continue to talk business. So anyway, but I definitely want to have this conversation with you, because it's important. For one, I wanted to highlight you and what you're doing. Why is it, you talked about in the article, I believe, you said that you want to educate, and you said it on here, you want to educate African-Americans and talk about African-Americans in wine. Is that a very small percentage of people, or is it a bigger community than we know?
I think there's a lot of people who want to know. So I think that the education kind of goes deeper than just drinking wine. Agritourism makes a lot of money in a lot of states.
What's
Virginia,
it called?
Virginia, agritourism.
Agritourism.
So
okay.
We're
dang
new. Yeah, so you're kind of blending agriculture with the tourism.
Mm-hmm.
So Virginia is the fifth largest wine producing state in the country.
Wow.
So, you got, wineries. When I first got in the wine industry in 2005, you maybe had 79 wineries or so in the state of Virginia. Now you're at right at 400. So the growth has been tremendous over these 14 years.
Mm.
Well, what you would notice is an absence of African Americans in that space.
Mm.
We don't have any African American vineyard owners in Virginia.
Oh, wow.
But that if we know nothing else, we know how to farm, right? We've been doing that since we got here. So We have a lot of people with property. And so what I would like to do is just introduce more families, African-American families, into the aspect of growing grapes, or even if they don't want to make wine, grow grapes and sell them to those who want to make wine. We're running out. We have a shortage in our state of wine.
I did not know that. My grandma used to grow grapes, too. Nobody ever said, hey, you should be selling these grapes. Ever.
Yeah, sell those grapes. Mm. Or if you don't want to grow them and you got land, there are people who are winemakers. They want to lease your space to grow your grapes. So there's, you know, that's an industry, the agritourism industry, that we're not making any money in.
See, that, and that goes back to what I was saying earlier about what we're teaching our kids. That's something, that's a job that nobody's talking about right now. School started in last week here in Georgia. I guarantee ain't nobody talking about agriculture, agritourism. Nobody's talking about none of that stuff right now.
Right.
As a possibility for your future. So I think you hit the nail on the head. Education is important. I think when people hear education, all they hear about going to school, but it's information.
And just thinking about different things, even when you're in school. I'm on the advisory board of the hospitality management department at Virginia State University.
Mm-hmm.
And, you got these young people, they're learning hotel management. You know, so why can't you teach them? I mean, what's growing there? Airbnbs and spaces like that.
Yes.
So, you know, why can't you teach them? You see these houses out in these properties, pick those up, and these could easily be venues for people to stay, or venues for people to have events, weddings and such. You know, so there's a whole lot, you know, with education. So, yes, I do want to teach you about what's in the glass, but I really want to get more into this whole industry and how we can all make money in this space.
That's awesome. So if anybody wants to look up the Vine Club,
divinewineclub.com.
Make sure you go to the website and check it out and see what Benita is talking about and what else she is into. As she just dropped, she's on the advisory board for something. She went to UVA. She's a UVA graduate. Shout out to, congratulations to y'all, national champions in basketball.
Yay. You can share that with me. I know you're a big fan, so.
I was definitely all in on that. I almost came home for the parade. Almost came home. But at any rate, so go to the website. You have a Twitter and Instagram, right? What's social media? What's the social media?
The Vine Wine Club. On both.
So make sure you follow. She always has something going on Twitter. Get back on Twitter. I've been telling y'all, get back on Twitter. I'm on Twitter real heavy these days. Got to go back to using our words. Y'all got so caught up in using these pictures. Okay. You know, we can read. So go back to Twitter. Thank you for being on the show with us today, Benita. It was
sure. Thanks for having me, Jason. It's always good to talk to you.
Always. So we will remember, follow, watch the show, listen to the show here on ATL Podcast Network. Go to jasoncarey.net and you can catch it. Also go to atlpn.com. You can catch us. Follow me, Jason804. And don't forget to check me out on Monday nights on IBNX Radio. JC Squared on the air. Coming back live for the rest of the year. And make sure you check us out, IBNX.com. Talk to you later. We got to get out of here.
All right.
Peace.